Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Whichever it is for you, here's the Morning Scramble
with Claire and Eric,
a Z102.9 podcast.
Enjoy.
Woo. Hey, Snow. A little bit more than we were anticipating.
And a lot slidier. Is that a word? Slidier?
Let's see. I was watching that women's basketball game. Went to bed at halftime, so that was 8:45. Let the dog out. Like, oh, we had a little dusting.
Yep.
Was exactly what I was expecting. Fast forward to this morning, 3:30, let the dog out. Went, I don't see his footprints from last night, which means we have more active snow. I actually got the snowblower out this morning.
You did?
Yeah. It's quiet. We have an electric one, so I'm not, and, you know, just cleared a path. But I was watching active snow come down.
Yeah.
And that left a little bit of a glaze. And then I noticed driving here, it's a little slick.
As we took it, my husband had a little trouble getting into our driveway last night after that little bit of snow. But he's like, it was so slick that he scooped everything off and salt and everything. So we didn't really have a lot of accumulation at my house. But I was a lot of side streets to get to work. And it a lot of sliding on those side streets.
I ran an experiment to the betterment of everybody.
I saw your experiment.
I went a little hard on a left turn on purpose to see what would happen.
And I was
I went to the right.
Oh, dear.
I was like Lightning McQueen, right? You got to turn left to go right or vice versa.
The test did not go well.
No, I caught the curb. Usually, you kind of know when the car is going to naturally it just kept moving. So I don't know where that glaze is and if we don't have the appropriate brine or sand or what. But yeah, everything's going to take a little extra time.
Yeah.
A little shoveling.
Stop before you need to.
Yes, if you park outside, you got to clear a car off. You're going to go. So this might be one of those mornings we're doing more traffic than we want to.
Could be.
Because people are going to be caught off guard.
Just please take it really, really slow. Add some more time on your commute because you're just going to need to take that time. Yeah.
And just know, you know what? A little extra time on a Friday morning means leave a little early on a Friday afternoon.
Isn't that what that means, right?
That's right? Right?
I believe that's how it works.
Well, I put time into coming to work more. So I should be able to leave work.
I'm not just going to be out that time.
I feel like when you are starting to prepare to go to work, it's work time.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
The moment you take a shower. Yes.
Clock in.
Once my brain goes to, I have to get ready for work. That's me clocking in.
I mentally thought about an email. So I'm working.
I've prepared all my responses already, just in my head.
Both of those.
Yeah. No, I think that counts.
I think that counts too.
Yeah. You have a verbal letter to your boss from the Morning Scramble.
Yeah. Hey, this part will probably be on the podcast later. Play it back.
Play it back for them.
You got a note? Yeah, listen to this.
The minute I start thinking about work is when I have clocked in.
The boss would be like, who are those two yahoos?
Nobody and nothing. That's who. But hey, you said it with authority.
We did.
Please consider it. And new trend or new way to approach all of those adult things. You know, we're getting closer to tax season.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to have to sit down and go through all of those, you know, documents and
like pay attention to your mail for real for the next 6 weeks.
Yes. Yes. Right? And, you know, after the holidays, bills.
Yeah. You're telling me.
Yeah. Like it or not, you're going to have to pay those suckers. And all of that stuff is not very fun, is it?
No, it's not.
It's not fun at all. Here's a new way to approach that. It's called admin nights.
Okay.
Admin nights where you and your friends get all of the paperwork that you need to get done together, but you do it all together.
I like that to a point. It also will clearly show the difference in your habits and spending.
Yeah.
And money always makes people uncomfortable when talking about it with other people.
Exactly.
So I appreciate the concept.
I like the concept. I don't know if it'll work in practice. And the whole idea of not only do I have to do all of that work, but then I have to pick it up and take it to somebody's house. Like, I'd want to be the host of admin.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
If you saw, we have a basket of receipts.
Yes.
Tax things. It's like I worked on a volcano project for eighth grade. It's overflowing. It's a mound now.
Yeah.
It's just way too much to go through.
Yeah.
That would be no fun.
I don't know about that. But it's a nice idea.
It's a concept.
If you have a very close friend, maybe just keep it tight. Like, I'd say 2-4 people.
Can I make my pitch again? And I've wanted to do this before. Same concept. But instead of bringing your documents, bring all of the gift cards you got for the holidays.
That I can get behind.
And either pick times to go out and enjoy a meal together or go shopping together.
Uh-huh.
Or maybe do a gift card swap.
Ooh, right? Like, we don't go here, but
exactly.
Would you guys be interested in this?
Because I think if you get a group together, it's going to force you to use them. I have endeavored to force myself to use, I leave them out and I just never grab it, or I'm never on that side of town.
We're the exact same way. I don't know how to rectify. There's some that I'm like, I just put away and I just forget we even have. And then I'll go and I'll just pay.
You were telling me you had a gift card from a year and a half ago for a wine store you forgot you had.
Yeah. Oh, older than a year.
Older than a year?
It's got to be older than a year.
Wow.
It's got to be. But oh my gosh, I know. Just use it.
Just gift card weekend or something.
Yes.
But yes.
With a group of friends. That's
there's
a good
thing
idea.
About the, because it kind of keeps you on top of, also you don't procrastinate.
Yep.
And you make it entertaining and socializing.
And
I think it's a great idea.
It just makes good fiscal sense.
It sure does.
Lay it all out there.
Brace yourself.
What's on your mind?
It's mind-blowing, isn't it?
Time for some brain show and tell.
What's on your mind?
Well, Shannon is cashing in one of her holiday gifts from moi this week. Well, we both are. We got a Chicago weekend straight ahead for a performance one night with an, well, I don't know how to say this, if it's an actor or actress. Eddie Izzard, now goes by Susie Eddie Izzard.
Okay.
British comedian, actor, activist. A lot of bit parts in American work. If you saw Mystery Men, was in Ocean's 13, has been in a variety of movies.
Sure.
But does a lot of Shakespeare as well. It's a 45-minute Q&A at the Chicago Shakespeare Theater. Then we bought tickets for the after party, which is supposed to include a meet and greet.
I was going to say meet and greet?
A mix and mingle.
Hmm.
Yeah. This is going to be pretty cool.
Yeah.
So now I just need to work on how not to embarrass myself.
Yeah. Do it correctly.
Well, yeah. Which I think is, I love your work. Insert example here. Can we get a picture? Right, that's the basic.
Which should be the basic thing.
And that's,
for what
that's
that got
to be what they are expecting.
Yes.
Knowing this ticket was sold for this event.
And maybe knowing that will take some of the pressure off you and say, hey, how are you guys doing? Would you like a picture?
I'm wondering, though, if it's Susie Eddie Izzard will come to your table. So don't like, because I don't think they want a line.
No.
Because then all of a sudden you're just, it's kind of like
when
like we
a
had
Comic-Con thing.
We had
like,
Captain Crunch at the World Record.
Yeah.
Like all of a sudden everybody's in line for a photo of Captain Crunch.
Oh, you got a picture with him? I want to do that too.
Yeah. So I have to find the right way to look cool in front of a very talented British performer. And we're also both stoked about it. So we don't want to over fan it. And there's going to be some of those people that are going to be over the top in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And some people are going to be
you don't want to be them.
No, I know.
Just enough.
I'm just trying to balance it out.
Right. Right. Be cool.
Yes.
Maybe like, hey, how you doing?
Because it's what, like, for example, when you saw Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah. Not cool.
Well, no, you went all in, but you got what you wanted, which you wanted a photograph.
Okay. Everybody was like, I want an autograph. I want an autograph. I was like, Jimmy, I have to tell you, you have had an impact on my life, and here's the story. Like, we watched your, I think I mentioned to him that I have his Best of Saturday Night Live DVD, which I don't know why I said that, but I was like, I gotta throw something out here to stop him in his tracks.
See, I feel like that's one step too far.
Is it creepy?
Now I think you're a little creepy.
I'm a little creepy.
But you got a great, great picture with Jimmy Fallon.
Okay, so you're gonna have to do something that's
but
gonna
this,
stop.
Everybody in this room paid to be there. So it feels like Susie Eddie Izzard needs to stop and say hi to everybody. That's got to be part of the routine.
What would mean more to them? Because my whole thought was that you just have to say what an impact you had on my life, or what thing stood like means something to you. Like, is there a movie or a part that really struck a chord with you? Because I think they want to hear that.
I think that's what I have to figure out.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's Mystery Men.
No.
Right?
Nope.
Because he's like a bit character in
right.
a comic book.
Maybe it's not true, but like when you did Shakespeare.
I loved your performance of King Lear.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's like, tell me more about it. Oh, I can't even put it into words.
It was leery.
You were the leeriest Lear I've ever seen.
Yeah. No, I think we're going in the right direction.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you're very close.
So lie. Got it. Okay.
Lie if you have to.
Got it.
Lying is not going to work for me this weekend, because this weekend I am taking on a role I have not done since I watched my neighbor's dog when I was 12. I used to go over and I would let Smokey out and Smokey would do his thing, but Smokey was a dog. This weekend, I am taking care of a cat. Everybody!
Smelly cat, smelly cat. It's not your fault.
It's not your fault.
Is it a smelly cat?
No, but weirdly enough, the dog I took care of was named Smokey, and the cat I'm taking care of this weekend is called Smokey.
That's crazy.
I know.
Every 20 years, you take care of an animal named Smokey.
I only take care of animals named Smokey. That's my thing.
It's a very limited, you're not going to make a lot of money.
I'm not. But you know what? It's perfect because I've never really taken care of a cat.
All you have to do is feed and water it because it goes to the bathroom in the house.
Yeah, but that's the problem.
You got to clean that?
We also have to clean that out. Yeah, so I'm really not looking forward to that part of this weekend. I'm just going to hold my breath and just hope it goes okay.
Well, I can't help you because the one time I watched an animal, it was an iguana and I killed it. So,
dude! My bad.
Time for The Buzz with Danson Eric Hansen on Z102.9.
Got a variety of stories about how bad the flu season is this year. It's a nasty strain. Whatever mutated didn't quite match up with the vaccine, which is not to say don't get the vaccine. That's going to slow it down.
Right.
You were reporting somebody in your family, the only person that got sick was the person who didn't have the vaccine.
Yep.
Yep. In Des Moines right now, one hospital has postponed all elective surgeries that require overnight stays. They need the beds. So to help prevent ER overcrowding, Iowa doctors want to make sure people know the difference between cold and flu. With a cold, sore throat, running nose, coughing, sneezing.
Okay.
The bigger difference on flu is fever, chills, body aches.
Those are big ones.
And those are my telltale signs.
Mm-hmm.
Usually the chill part that achy. Yeah. With either one, if you could just write it out at home, ideally that's the best thing to do. Right? Because
mm-hmm.
You could treat the flu a little bit cold to cold. A lot of fluids on both sides. Not infecting other people is also what I would consider to be a treatment.
Yes.
So
helpful.
Write it out as best you can. But if you do know pretty well that it's more of a cold than a flu and you can just stay home, that's right now what the hospital is saying. They don't have the space in the ER. And you're especially probably thinking that when you've got little ones who are sick, you have to kind of diagnose a little bit more at home first.
Right. And you get scared and nervous.
Get that.
Yeah.
Yes. But it is kind of overwhelming the system right now. We know a little bit more about that dog that was rescued earlier this week along the banks of the Iowa River in Marshalltown. For starters, it was a Great Pyrenees.
Oh, my.
Those are big.
That's a big dog.
Big, white, fluffy dog. The dog luckily never got wet. It was always on land, which was good from the veterinarian standpoint because its body temperature stayed the same.
That's good.
So they didn't have to treat for hypothermia. Also, it's got a big, thick coat. It is caked with mud.
Aww.
But all in all, that helped maintain its health. Also, it gave rescuers time to angle the boat to get there because it could withstand the cold longer. We do not know anything about why and how or who. How did it get there? Why was it in that area?
Whose dog, yeah.
Whose dog? So right now, without a name, it has been named Banks. It's under the care of the Animal Rescue League of Marshalltown. One of the firefighters who was on the rescue crew has put in adoption papers if the owners cannot be found.
Oh, but that's nice.
That dog's going to get a happy ending no matter how this thing wraps up. But good news for Banks. Okay, what area holiday event saw over 12,000 people attend and raised more than $21,000, or right around $21,000 for area nonprofits.
And raised money for nonprofits.
Yeah.
I'm like, there's got to be like a concert or something but that much money for nonprofits?
The 2025 Five Seasons Lights at McGrath Amphitheater.
Oh, yeah.
More than 12,000 visitors, 20 local nonprofits benefited from strong crowds, generous donations, plus there was a match. $21,100 shared among those nonprofit partners for Five Seasons Lights.
That's awesome.
This, by the way, is 100% created by VenueWorks. It's made possible through strong partnerships with the City of Cedar Rapids, Parks and Rec, and a ton of local businesses as well. And it continues to grow and get bigger and bigger every year. But another year in the books for Five Seasons Lights, raised a lot of money. A lot of people got
Very
out
cool.
and enjoyed.
And now, a pop culture update we'd like to call Z's Sleaze. With Claire.
Let's start by talking about the movies. It was huge when they put big box office smash Barbie and huge box office smash Oppenheimer in theaters at the exact same time.
I think what really worked for that formula is they were going for two completely different audiences.
Exactly. So they're like, we don't have to say, oh, no, you go ahead. No, by the way, it's going to be two different audiences. But then people started getting into it. It started becoming this phenomenon. Barbenheimer. Let's go see both. And it just helped both at the box office, right?
For sure.
So let's do it again. Except this time it's going to be two titans of industry head to head. Timothy Chalamet and Robert Downey Jr. were doing a Q&A. So Robert Downey Jr. was kind of like the MC of the Q&A, and Timothy Chalamet, it was about his movie, Marty Supreme. But they started talking about Avengers Doomsday and Dune Part 3.
I didn't know we were getting a Dune 3.
Dune 3 is happening, my friend.
Okay.
Scheduled to hit theaters in December.
That's when the Avengers movie's coming out.
Yes, it's December 18th. It's the same day.
It is?
Yes. And Robert Downey Jr. is suggesting that we adopt a moniker for it. He's calling it Doomsday.
That works.
Yeah. You want to see both? Huh? You want to go both?
Both are going to be so long.
Yeah. Those are long movies.
I'm way into the weeds on this Doomsday movie. The estimated runtime is 3.5 hours.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not. And those Dune movies seem long and run long because you're just in sand.
They run long and they feel long.
Oh my God, they feel so long.
That's just the morning scramble's 2 cents.
I think it's everybody's on those Dune movies.
So Doomsday could be our next big, you're going to spend your life at the movie theater for one day. Maybe.
Bring a blanket and a pillow.
And you live there now. Okay. Pamela Anderson was at the Golden Globes this past Sunday night, but she said she felt weird and yucky about seeing one particular person on the red carpet.
I mean, she had a nice year, like late 2024, 2025.
Right.
Last Showgirl was a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
That Naked Gun movie was horrible.
You didn't like it?
Confidently report. It was not good at all. She was fine.
But she fell for her co-star.
Yeah, I just kind of feel like she's had her, she's in a moment right now and is kind of enjoying being in Hollywood. So I'm surprised that there's some, like she has a nemesis.
She does. Right now, she said she didn't want to see Seth Rogen.
Didn't he produce Naked Gun? I think. Oh, no. Seth MacFarlane.
No.
Sorry.
Seth Rogen made that Pam and Tommy TV series.
Oh.
And he made it without ever consulting with Pam and never even asked her anything about it. She's like, you know, how could someone make a TV series out of one of the most difficult times in your life? I'm a living, breathing human being over here. Hello. It's just, I've been busy. Sometimes it just hits you and I feel kind of down about it. I don't know. I just felt yucky, but eventually, hopefully, maybe he'll reach out to me and apologize someday. Not that that matters.
I don't think he thinks he needs to.
I don't feel like if he hasn't at this point, because that series was like, what, a year ago?
A year plus. Two? Yes. It was based on other material. So I think technically he didn't need your permission. I see what she's saying.
Yeah.
She's I'm not discounting it.
I don't. She's like, it was all of my deepest, darkest secrets and the big tragedies of my life. And it was all fair game for a TV series. And that just pissed me off a little bit, she said.
I get it.
Yeah, I can understand that. And some of the way that they handled some things were like,
oh, sure,
a little sophomoric, which, you know, it's kind of the Seth Rogen way. So maybe they'll make peace. But for right now, it's yucky.
I'm not expecting it.
Let's stay in the Pam category, I guess.
Okay.
Talk about a brand new casting call just went out for the reboot of Baywatch. The casting call asks auditioners to arrive Baywatch ready. And in your mind, what does that mean, Eric?
I got to be wearing a very tight red swimsuit and carrying a life preserver.
I think that's what most people think when you say.
And also run into the room.
Arrive Baywatch ready. That's
yes.
Exactly what that means, right? Wrong.
Wrong.
Wardrobe should evoke a beach setting, but remain polished, professional, and in all caps, avoid overly revealing styles and costumes.
This is not the Baywatch I grew up with.
Whoa. Is that not what this Baywatch is about?
Huh.
Interesting. So they're also looking for dynamic talent a wide range of roles, from lifeguards to beachgoers to bartenders to buddies to love interests, rescuers, and rescuees of all kind.
I will gladly be a rescuee.
And good luck.
Save that man.
No, save you for later, because they're also looking for any additional characters yet to be written. And I think your material could be something they're looking for. Have you been working on a character?
That is the most open-ended casting call I've ever heard of.
I know, but it's...
Who are you looking for? Everybody.
Everyone.
Everyone. Come on down. But don't wear anything too revealing.
I just want some like struggling actor who's like, I've been working on this character for years.
He's an IT professional who's never been out of his office. And he wins the lottery and he takes a Hawaiian vacation.
And then he comes to find out while on the Baywatch beach, he's allergic to the sun.
Oh no, it's too late now.
How's that for character? Ta-da! See? That's character. Try on that, Baywatch. That's what we like to call
Z's Sleaze.
Time for nerd news. You know what just occurred to me?
What?
This could be somebody's very first time listening to, enjoying nerd news. How did this even get started? I don't even remember.
You know?
It was like we just tried it one day.
You're like the news director and you wanted to do like a specific set of stories. And we're like, yeah, that was really fun.
I kind of just auditioned it. News.
Yeah.
And we got one call in support and we've done it ever since.
All we need is one.
That's all it takes.
The power of one.
On this third week of the year, 2026, broadcasting from an elevation of 840 feet above sea level, latitude 41.88 degrees north, longitude 91.72 degrees west. This, friends, is nerd news. A beach in Wales is being haunted, so to speak, by shoes.
How does this work?
Hundreds of Victorian shoes found during a beach cleanup in Wales. Hundreds.
What?
An educational center in Wales is trying to solve the mystery of hundreds of Victorian-style shoes found during a beach cleanup. The center said volunteers were working on a restoration project in South Wales last month and found 200 shoes and shoe pieces. And the design clearly matched the style of the shoes worn during the Victorian era. The material, like leather soles, attached with something what's known as a hobnail, which doesn't get used in shoemaking anymore.
What?
Apparently, local residents have been making their own shoe discoveries on the coast for years, but none of this amount. So they're trying to figure out, where did the Victorian shoes come from?
Did like a ship go down and they've washed up?
Yes, that's theory number one.
Yeah.
The first theory is a cargo ship called the Frolic, which was carrying cargo from Italy in the 19th century, crashed nearby. The wreck is still on the seafloor, and they think things are coming up.
That makes sense.
That's a working theory. The other is upriver, where some cobblers used to work and have stores. They would repair shoes.
Uh-huh.
If they didn't want to repair it, or it's like, we're not going to repair this, instead of getting rid of it correctly, they just throw it in the river. So they think there's a collection of shoes.
Don't do that, but what a fun little bit of history.
No, that's horrible polluting.
Yeah.
But just, it's also just eerie. It's like all of a sudden they weren't there one night and then the next morning, 200 Victorian shoes just on a beach.
Kind of creepy when you find beach trash, but it's from like a different time.
From the 1800s. A long time ago. Okay, the first ever medical evacuation of somebody from space happened this week.
What happened?
NASA's Crew 11 safely returned to Earth yesterday after the first ever medical evacuation. So all four were working in the International Space Station. We had two Americans, a Russian and a Japanese astronaut. They splashed down in the Pacific Ocean about 2:45 Central Time yesterday morning. The medical issue, and this is where everybody's being tight-lipped. The medical issue was one of the astronauts, but it prompted an evacuation of all four. It's the first time they've ever done this in the 30 years the space station has been in space.
What?
They're not saying what the issue is. We can guess it's one of the two Americans because this whole thing started January 7th, supposed to be a spacewalk, and it was supposed to be the two Americans doing the spacewalk, and for some medical emergency, not disclosed, they canceled the spacewalk.
Okay.
And that started the clock of having to get them back. Now, they had the ability to fly home. that rocket was already there. It's not like they sent up a new one.
Okay.
And they only came home about a month before anyway. Like, they were supposed to go through mid-February. So the timing worked out. It's just, what is this medical emergency? Nobody's saying.
Yeah.
The person is stable and they should make a complete recovery, but we don't know what it is.
What the heck? Like, I don't want to be too overly dramatic, but like, you see a movie and it's like space fight, you know? Like, they got into an altercation.
Like,
in
with
space.
Aliens?
No. Amongst
themselves?
Themselves. Yeah, amongst themselves.
Like a little too much sake one night, and then like the Japanese astronaut,
you
the American
are up
astronaut.
There with the same three people day in, day out, and you know what? He left his socks on the floor of the room again.
One too many times.
And then they floated up and they were in my face when I woke up. In my face. I'm going to lose my mind.
I love your theory. Do you want to hear mine?
Sure.
I think the female astronaut's pregnant.
Oh my God. What? What? I thought I was dramatic. You!
They'd been up there for 5 months.
Stop it.
Because they would know going up. She wasn't. I'm just thinking out loud.
What?
Same idea as you. Locked in a confined space. Not much
lots
going
of sake.
On. Lots of sake.
Both involve sake.
I could have. What did we do last night? I don't know. But... And then 3-4 months go by and things that happen don't happen. And they're like, uh-oh. Oh, no. And I'm sure there's a blood test on board they could probably do. That's my theory.
What?
And NASA's like, we can't talk about that.
What?
Space baby? How cool, though?
That would be so
space baby?
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. They better give us the details.
I love that all of our stories so far have working theories. Where did the shoes come from? Why did the astronauts come back?
Well, there's a lot for us to figure out as scientists, as radio scientists.
Okay. This one, actually, I'm going to give you some practical skills you can use maybe in the office later today, or maybe even if you need to, like, sit down with a kid and talk to him.
Oh.
It is an FBI tactic called the command pause.
The command pause.
Check this out.
Okay.
That's it. I just did it to you.
What is it?
I just did a command pause. I just said, check this out, which just engaged your brain.
Yes.
I made eye contact.
I'm looking.
And then I stopped talking for a second. And your brain is thirsty for information. Because, like, check what out? You need to know.
Okay.
That is a command pause.
That's it.
Yes.
It's so simple.
I know. But if you're giving a presentation and you have the room, then you start to lose the room. Once you have people's attention, start a presentation.
Everybody, look at me.
Not even, no, that doesn't work. Guys.
It has to be. Listen.
Listen to this.
Okay.
Guys, you will not believe.
Hey, I have something to say. Don't do it like that.
You're doing it wrong. Come on, guys. Listen. I worked really hard on this presentation.
It's called a command pause, Claire. You're begging.
You're trying to command, but you're begging, and you're not pausing. Check this out. You're not going to believe this. This will blow your mind.
That one really worked well.
This is nuts. Can you? Oh, my gosh.
What?
And see?
What?
That's the pause. The command pause.
Okay.
It's an FBI tactic. It's going viral on TikTok right now. A person who works in public speaking is like, this is how you get people's attention. If you are making a presentation, you feel like you're starting to lose the room. Once you, all eyes on me. Okay, guys, before we go any further, you have to hear this. Talk. Command pause.
That is such great info.
That's
useful.
Very useful. Space baby, not so much. That, yes. Nerd news.
Come back to these exact coordinates next week, nerds, for Nerd News on Z102.9.
Before we start spinning, let's paint the picture.
Okay.
Claire is tucked behind piles and piles of boxes and paper. We keep them in our office. We bring them in every Friday morning. We also have a wheel that we keep in the back. Producer Ben rolls that in. I spin that thing, and based on how you've categorized, I still have never figured out the pattern here.
It's all random. It's all random, useless stuff, but I've got certain boxes of, you know, space garbage, and then I just kind of randomized that. So it's all very random.
It's useless until you never know. This is going to come up in a weird conversation this weekend. You're like, oh, I just heard that on Friday morning on the Morning Scramble.
Maybe it'll be useful to you. Good spin, sir.
I had my protein snacks already.
That's important before you spin a wheel of useless knowledge.
It's like it went straight to the muscle.
Check that bicep.
Is it going to end?
Nope. That's how hard I like it. Looks like it landed on 6, please.
Hang on.
Hang on.
Got it? Okay, got it. Number 6. When you hear static on a radio station.
Yeah.
It's caused by radiation fields around Jupiter.
It is?
Yeah.
I've been doing this a long time. I've never heard this before.
You know what? We're going to have to talk to the engineer because I've never heard of this either.
I thought it was just interference of all the other frequencies or stations at that number on the dial.
According to this useless little
piece of knowledge. It's caused by Jupiter?
Static on radio is caused by radiation, the fields of radiation around the planet Jupiter.
It's at the same bandwidth as all the radio stations?
I don't know, or it's bouncing off there, coming back.
Is there a Jupiter morning scramble?
Wait a second.
Hold on a minute.
Whoa.
Slow down.
What does this mean? This changes everything and nothing.
But mostly nothing. It changes nothing. Because we can't go there. Unless they've got a way to get here.
We're going to stay here.
Yes.
At what number?
It landed on a 2, by the way.
Oh, okay. Number 2. The get out of jail free card. You know, when you play Monopoly?
Yeah.
So it was a real thing.
Wait, you had a, like, at a real jail?
It was a special thing. In England, 1567, they did a lottery to raise money for the Navy. And the winner got a get out of jail free card, which excused them from everything but like the most serious of crimes.
No, like murder you're in.
Murder, that's not going to work here. But parking ticket?
The fact that that was so popular of an item, how many people were going to jail in 1567 in England?
A lot more people than now even. Like,
I'm guessing it's drunk and disorderly. Probably, right?
And yeah, that's a great use for
like
that card.
Stealing my neighbor's
you
pigs
can't
and chicken.
Me to jail?
I look at the card.
I paid good money for this.
I support the Navy. And you can't take me home. Gotta take me home.
That's kind of a fun fundraiser.
That's a great fundraiser.
I mean, hey, schools, think about that.
Schools? Wait, you want a bunch of potential criminals buying get out of jail
I'm
free cards at a school?
Crime. It's like get out of going to the principal's office.
Oh, I see what
you're
saying.
You know what I mean? Like a get out of jail free card.
Get out of going to my kid's performance?
No comment.
Just blink if you want that.
Absolutely no comment.
One more turn. All right. Weirdly enough, it's all even numbers today. 8, please.
Get out of here.
I look for little patterns and they're
That's
all even.
Neat.
Yeah.
If you go on a trip to China and you're thinking like, man, Chinese food sounds great right now.
Who has the best pot stickers? I want combination fried rice like they used to make at Pei's in Southeast Cedar Rapids.
You're going to have some trouble, sir, because things like that, things like orange chicken?
Sesame chicken?
Not a Chinese dish.
What?
Orange chicken. The invention of orange chicken actually was invented by Panda Express in 1987. It is not that old.
It's Panda Express invented orange chicken?
Panda Express invented it. It is a variation of General Tso's chicken, and which is another dish that's also not Chinese.
It's not!
They're both Americanized mutations of sweet and sour chicken. And they do not exist.
That's disappointing.
But they're so good.
They sound so good.
So good.
All right, one more out of the 8 pile, and then we will put the wheel away.
Okay. Super helpful stuff. Cows hate cowbells.
Wait, how do you know?
Cows, they hate the sound. It hurts their ears. Cows' ears are sensitive, and, you know, they get spooked if they hear loud noises.
They do.
The cowbell, it's a little too loud.
Those poor, poor animals.
Poor cows don't like their cowbell.
But how do you know the answer? Like, they're not telling you.
And why do they call it a cowbell if the cows don't even like it?
Oh, if they don't like the cowbell, they're going to hate this. They're just going to hate.
No blue oyster cult.
They're
going to
hate.
The last thing the cows need is this.
Moo! Stop!
Explore the space, Eric!
This is hot Jupiter right now.
Thank you for listening to the Morning Scramble podcast.
Catch Claire and Eric live weekday mornings 6 until 10 Central Time on Z102.9. Listen on your radio, on your smart speaker, or stream at KZIA.com.
Okay, have a good day.